wonder where everybody is.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I was a bit late in setting out the agenda this morning. And wait one more minute, and then we'll start. Is there someone who could take attendance this morning?
Sure. I was going to offer.
Oh.
I've
Signed it out.
actually already started. Oh, gosh.
I
Thanks,
can't
Anne.
tell. Yeah, I can't tell if someone has started already. It looked like someone might have, so I was actually going to start while we were waiting here for a minute.
Thank you.
Let's see. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. And
Good morning.
thank you, Anne. Just a reminder that we're now the first 3 Mondays instead of the first 4 Mondays of each month. Just wanted to actually change the announcement so it was that it's reflected 3 years instead of four, if there was any confusion. If you are not already on the calendar for this, I can send you, please ask me to send you a calendar invite in Slack. And that way, if we cancel or we have to change anything, you'll get notified. Let's see. Nothing on new fields and features this morning.
Do you want to share or no?
Oh, sorry. I can share. Thank you so
That's okay.
much.
That's no, I do that at every meeting,
Is
I think.
it,
Oh,
no,
I'm
you
not
don't.
sharing.
No, you don't, but thank you. Okay, find the right document. Ah, there it is. Are you seeing it? Now I will no
Yes.
longer
Yes.
be able to see the hand raises or anything like that.
I'll be on the lookout.
Yeah, thank you. We will be coming up with additional training opportunities in the next month or two. We've identified some things. And are there any new members today? Anyone who would like to introduce themselves? I'll take that as a no. And something changed under SIG recruitment today. We're no longer looking for someone to work on updates to derive tables. We have a volunteer. Claire is a volunteer, and we'll be talking about that in just a few minutes, actually almost immediately. And very happy to have her help here. Any questions or comments? Well, the first item on the agenda is the derived tables I just talked about. Claire Dillon has agreed to lead the review of the derived tables. And we're searching for volunteers to review pull requests for the derived tables. I don't know if Claire would like to say anything or have any questions. Or Sharon.
I'm good. I'm just excited to work on this, and I hope that it makes things easier for all of us.
It does, and thank you so much.
If I could just say a couple of things. So, Claire, again, thank you so much. Claire will, sort of, lead this effort, but we do need people to review pull requests as they are positioned for the FolioAnalytics GitHub repository, and that is an ongoing maintenance task for derived tables, which are used by several institutions running Folio with MetaDB. So, after we met and went through the notes that we've had on review boards and so forth, we concluded that having what would you say, Claire, like two or three people who would be willing to act as reviewers? How many people would be?
I think probably at least two.
At least two.
Yeah, but I think we'd welcome more. It would mean less work for all of y'all.
Thank you, Claire. So, yeah, each pull request has to have two reviewers before it goes to the next stage and gets considered for being merged. So, Claire is, oh, yay. Thank you, Corey. Okay, we have our first volunteer.
Yay.
Yay. This is like magical. Last meeting we had Claire volunteer, and now we have Corey volunteering. Thank you so much, Corey. So if you've done review before, you have a sense of what it is. It is a well-documented procedure. You basically need to read through the pull request. You take the code, you bring it to your own instance of MetaDB, you run it, you see if there are any errors. And if there are, you make comments on the pull request. And then the person who originated the pull request by updating a derived table will review your comments, make the appropriate changes, and then it gets tested again. So there's just this process that you go through, but it's very straightforward, very well documented, and I think we have a few folks here who have done this before. If you haven't done it and you would like to learn more about derived tables, about working with the GitHub repository, this is a good opportunity because we can guide you through this process, and you can learn a little bit more about, well, what are these derived tables? Should I be using them? Should I not be using them? Etc. So, are there any other folks besides Corey who would be willing to be reviewers when we have pull requests come through, just taking a look at some of the table updates and making sure that they're correct? Mark, yes. Sorry, I'm very excited.
Thank
This
you.
is great. We've got two. All right, Claire, you've got your minimum. And I think we should say the entire reporting SIG. We've got our minimum. If there are any other folks who'd like to jump in, then I would yay. Yes. I'd encourage you to reach out to me or to Scott or to Claire, and we can, walk you through what that means. A little bit more me and Scott for now, as we get Claire trained up. But we have a, there is the current version, as I understand it, of the derived tables is 1.8.1. It's a slight modification to 1.8, and so. We are just running 1.8 and we haven't seen any major issues, but there are tables that do need to be updated. What is updating the derived tables about? That's keeping up with releases. So when we have Ramsden, Sunflower, Trillium, etc., taking a look at each of the derived tables to make sure that data points haven't shifted around or to add new data points. There are also things that derived tables do to, they make it easier to write queries, but they also put data together in a way that complements the data model and works well. So it can help if you're, if you haven't memorized the Folio data model, and if you're kind of new to writing queries. So it can really be helpful to use them. We are also trying to reduce the number of derived tables that we want to maintain. We've got about 80 now, and the goal is to try to get it down to about 40. So we'll start getting engaged in a derived table review process with a goal of reducing the number that we have to support. That will go hand in hand with release of MetaDB 1.4, which we'll hear more about once that's released. But there are capabilities in 1.4 for extraction that are a little bit more advanced. And we'll learn more about that. We'll go through that and explain what that means and the impact on you and your institution and the derived tables themselves. And so we expect that the need for derived tables for some of the derived tables to go down a bit as a result of that. So we'll know more once we see 1.4. Okay, that's my few words that became many words. So thanks for listening. I hope it was helpful.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Any more questions?
No questions, but I have propositions. Once you guys start looking at derived tables, and because we've been working, like traditionally Carnell was, involved a lot. With a new update to sunflowers, there was a new feature for instances, mark instances for deletion. And traditionally we were bringing discovery suppress into a lot of instance derived tables. So I don't know if you want to just add it somewhere in your notes to add delete it, and it's false or true to any of the derived tables, as well as history of the instance record. I don't know how it reflects like major tables inventory instances yet, because we haven't applied the latest page to our production, so we haven't seen it in our MetaDB yet. But there is another layer of history, who did what and when, to the record. That could be a new edition, or maybe even a new derived table. I don't know at this point. So that's it.
Thank you.
Natalia, thank you so much for that really important note. I'll add that, Claire, to the notes that we have going to sort of outline what is it that we have to do for derived tables so that we don't miss that. And I think, Natalia, we may come back to you to talk a little bit more about just exactly where those fields are and how they're going to work and what we should include and what we shouldn't include. But I'll just make a note for it for now. But thank you so much for bringing that up.
Thank you, everyone. And now to our main event, Buddy, to present on using the reporting app, the draft he's created for documentation for the community.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. And I'll introduce myself since I don't attend too many of these meetings. But my name is Buddy Pennington. I am the Systems and Technology Department Head at the University of Missouri Kansas City campus library. So we share a folio with University of Missouri, the four campuses. We all got MetaDB, I think, a year or two ago. My colleague Katie Rahman, who's here, is kind of our head systems librarian for all things Folio. So yeah, when the call came out to kind of create some documentation on using the reporting app, I jumped at the chance because we were getting started with it and the learning curve for MetaDB is pretty high. So I was hoping that we could use the reporting app for staff to run basic reports without needing to learn SQL. So I guess I will put the page in the chat, although it's in the meeting notes. I don't know if you want me to share screen or just kind of verbally go through it.
It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think sharing the screen would be great if you could.
Yeah, let me see if I can. Yeah. Okay, and yeah, like Scott said, I don't see the chat or hand raising and stuff. So just let me know if someone makes a comment in the chat or raises a hand to ask about something. I approach this as a someone who's completely new to kind of the reporting app. So it's got some pretty basic information about using the app. Some of it does duplicate what's in the Folio docs. So one of the things that I'm interested in hearing about is whether it's too much basic information, too little, or just right. So the first section kind of just provides the context and also a lot of screenshots in here because, again, new people, they like to, I think visual learners like to connect the dots with the text and what they see in Folio when they're using it. So just kind of a basic screenshot of what the app looks like. some references to the latest versions of Folio to get so people can see the permissions without having to duplicate permissions here. And then a little bit about structure, just so people understand the concepts of schema, tables, give them some examples, because when you look at that pull down in the reporting app, it's pretty overwhelming. So this provides a little bit of context. I don't know if there's a good reference that we should reference on this section that provides more detail about the schema and the tables. That might be something we want to add in this section. And then some basic instructions or context about running queries literally in the app. So building the app manually, some caveats about doing that. Something I experienced early on is, oh, it's not really that helpful because I get a bunch of UUID columns. But you can run some reports using the derived tables. Kind of the instructions about building the queries, the Boolean operators, and then kind of a very basic example of building a query and then seeing the results for items that are on order. The ability to load queries so you can save it if you get one that works, save it, adjust it. And then kind of getting to what I think is the more robust way to use the reporting app, but also has a much steeper learning curve, is running reports using a GitHub repository. And I was worried about overwhelming people, so I kind of just stuck to some very basic concepts that you do need a GitHub or GitLab repository, that these query or reports typically contain three files, a markdown file, a JSON file, and a SQL file. Provided some explanations about what those different files do. Provided some information about connecting the repository in the report settings and Folio settings. And then this is where I think we could probably flesh this out more, is then just running the reports and then kind of providing some references for people to look at example reports that are already created, the analytics wiki. But I feel like a basic section just on SQL concepts or basic statements might be worth having on this page. And also, I was wondering if we would need a section on how to transform the MetaDB into the function for the reporting app. And I know there's some references for that in the analytics wiki, but we could provide a brief explanation of that and then reference the wiki for more information. But that's about it. Yeah, this is kind of my first pass, and I wanted to get feedback on, is it too much here, too little here? Does the section need to be added? Or the headings, do they make sense? That sort of thing. So I will turn it back over and people can talk about it.
I can kick things off if you'd like, unless there's somebody else who's got their hand up or. You know me, I've always got something to say. So, oh, we'll let
Well,
Lauren go first.
yeah, so I was thinking that it'd be useful to have two directions of documentation, one for people that like are comfortable with SQL but might want documentation for like how to set up all of the files you need in the GitHub repository so people who are not familiar with SQL can run the reports, and then have the other have documentation for the people who just need to know like how do I run reports, how do I find reports, how do I, ask people to create reports because I can't figure out how to do it, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so you're thinking like in the report section at the bottom of the page, kind of providing resources for people who are stuck on reports, that sort of thing? Or are you thinking a completely separate page to
Well,
kind of get
I
at
don't
the
know if it
GitHub?
like I think like having two separate pages so we don't overwhelm the people who are finding building reports overwhelming, but still like have the documentation to help people who like, okay, I can run an SQL query, but how do I convert it into something that the reporting app can use?
Yeah, I think that's actually a good idea.
So maybe using the reporting app and creating r reports for the run report feature of the reporting app, or creating reports for the reporting app or something like that. Is that the separation maybe?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are two very different activities. And there's, I would also suggest, well, and I'd be happy to help with this, but maybe we might need a section on permissions because setting up permissions for the reporting app is a whole thing. And there's been a lot of work on what needs to be done, and it will change as probably after Trillium. So that we can set up permissions for people to access reports that are located in different GitHub repository sections. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of kind of retooling this page to focus really on the reporting app and the Folio like interface pieces, and then creating a separate page to kind of hone in on the GitHub and the SQL queries and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we did a reporting SIG meeting on writing functions. Stefan has done a lot of good work on that. So that's another piece that's a hurdle that the person who's setting up the report to get delivered has to get through. Having documentation for functions and all of that. I think we have some over in the GitHub wiki that Stefan wrote. So there's something that we could, reference or something. I'm just wondering about Mark, you're suggesting adding a Folio MetaDB general Slack channel under resources. Okay. Yeah. To add the Slack channel. Okay, I thought you were suggesting another Slack channel, but just adding that to the section. Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any other questions or comments? I can just say it looks great. I'm very grateful for this because I think it establishes the framework for organization of this, and it's a difficult concept for a lot of them. So thank you, and I just want to applaud for doing this.
Buddy, you might want to consider doing a session on this at WolfCon. I think a lot of people would appreciate such a session. So, just a thought.
I'll think about And I guess if people have comments Just you can message me in the Slack. I don't know if people can comment on the page, but if they can, that would be perfectly fine too. And then Sharon and Scott, I guess we'll get together about creating that second page so I can start moving some stuff over.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Anything else from anyone?
I don't see a way to do commenting. Do other people know how to do that? And
Other than edit,
yeah, I just see edit.
but and
If
that
you're
impacts, yeah, sorry.
logged in, you can usually highlight text and then there's a pop-up to add a comment. I don't know if anyone else
Ah,
uses.
yes, I see that now. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so highlight text and then add your comment.
And
Okay.
you might be able to even
Thank you.
at mention. Yeah, you can at mention people too, so.
Nice.
Yeah, we use Confluence here at work, so.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And thanks especially to Buddy and Claire for taking on responsibilities and doing a lot of things that extend our reach. Have a good 2 weeks. Our next meeting is not until March 3rd, I think it is. Like 3rd, 2nd, is whatever it is, it's March. So enjoy the rest of February.
Looks like it's March 2nd.
March 2nd. Okay. Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye bye.